So this morning I'm going to debut a new segment here on our sermon time. It is The Adventures in Lost and Found. Adventures in Lost and Found. And we're going to start in Copper Ridge, Canada, where a woman named Monique Levaquet has set up a box where people in her neighborhood can come and things that they have found in their yard that are not theirs, they can put in this box so people who have lost them can find them again. It's a great idea. You might wonder, why is she doing this? Why are people finding things in their yard that are not theirs? One word, foxes. Apparently in Copper Ridge, they have an epidemic of fox thieves, fox burglars, different from cat burglars. These foxes will go into people's porches and yards and take things off of their porches and run around the neighborhood with them and then deposit them somewhere else. It's become such a problem that Monique has set up this little box she calls the Fox Depot. Although why she didn't call it the Fox Box, I think she really missed out an opportunity there. But she's got this Fox Depot where people can put all manner of things, shoes and gloves and coats and hats. She says that one family said that they had so many baseball gloves taken off of their porch in 1 week, she thought that the foxes were starting a team. Which I got to admit, sounds like a pretty good name, the Copper Ridge Foxes.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. All right, so we're going to go from Copper Ridge to Tokyo, Japan, which has to be heralded as one of the greatest lost and founds on earth. This is the Tokyo Metro system, and this is where a team of 50 employees catalog everything that gets lost and comes in there. They catalog, let me see, I think it's 1,800 items a day. They catalog them, they organize them, this is very Japanese, and they put them all in like little cubicles and arrange them by type. And so if someone is seeking out an umbrella or a suitcase or their coat or glasses, they can come there and when they will be able to find it. Last year, they also collect a lot of wallets. Obviously, people lose wallets all the time or purses. And last year they collected about 24 million yen, which roughly translates to $250,000 in yen from these wallets. And if nobody claims them, then it's a perk of the job. The attendants get to keep the money. Now you might be upset if you lost your wallet or lost your favorite umbrella, but it would be really sad if you lost a kid. And that happened to me when I was a YMCA counselor. When I was 18, we went on a field trip to the Marine World Africa USA in Vallejo, California. It's now a Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. But back when I was 18, we took all these kids there, and I had a group of 8 children in my under my purview, and I had a parent helper along with me. And we took these children all around the park to the different shows and to see the different animals and to do some souvenir getting. And we were in this one kind of circle of shops at the top of this hill. And right as we had left, I did a head count and I got 8 kids, just like I was supposed to. So we went down this hill and around this bend, and we were going into the Africa part to look at the tigers and the elephants. And I went to ask Emily something, and she wasn't there. And I got immediately panicked. Where's Emily? And then I tried to remember when I did the count. Did I see her in the count? I don't remember seeing her in the count, which means I must have counted one of the other kids twice without knowing it. And she must be back up at the top of the hill at the shops. So I left the kids with the parent volunteer and I ran up the hill panicking. Oh my God, there's a person. And I'm running and I asked all of the shop vendors if they had seen her, and none of them, they said, well, she was here and she's waiting, but she's not here now. I don't know where she went. And so maybe she went back the other way. So I run back the way that we came. And as I am running back, That way I hear over the park loudspeaker that Emily, I don't remember her last name, is at the lost children area in the front. Would somebody please come and claim her? So now not only had everyone in my group known that I had lost a person, now everybody in the entire YMCA field trip knew that I had lost a person, and my counselor was none too happy, but she was very merciful and understanding as we got Emily back to our group. But that's a scary thing, to lose something or someone important. That is a scary thing. So think back, you know, when you have that moment of realization that what you thought was there and you go to look for it and it's not there. And you have that brief moment of panic, right? You get that cold feeling down your spine, it spikes with adrenaline. I call that the loss shiver. The loss shiver. You get that shiver down your whole body, and you immediately get that huge spike of adrenaline, which you're going to need because you're going to have to start searching for what was lost, and it's going to take a little bit of energy to find it. Well, as we look at the scripture today and these stories of what was lost, I imagine that the shepherd and the lady in these stories felt that loss shiver when they realized that this thing that they really loved, that they really prized, was gone. There are two parables here that we're talking about. One is, of course, the shepherd who loses the sheep and leaves the flock of 99 to find it. And then the woman with 10 silver coins, which would have been a life savings, you know. One-tenth of that life savings is gone, and she takes her broom and she sweeps her whole house very carefully, takes a lamp, looks under every nook and cranny, trying to find what is lost. And of course, when Jesus tells these parables, he's not talking about sheep and coins and valuable things. He's talking about people, right? He's talking about what it's like when people feel lost or when they're lost from the sight of God. And there are all different ways that we can feel lost, right? We can feel lost if we're not sure what our future holds or what we're supposed to be doing. Or we can feel lost if we've kind of been going down a certain road and we've been doing something for so long we kind of forget why. But the lost person that Jesus is talking about in these parables is a very specific. He's talking about someone being lost to what we call sin. Someone being lost to either turning away from God or just getting into a situation where they can no longer find God in their lives. And the reason that Jesus tells these parables, and the reason we know that he's talking about being lost to sin, is the way that this chapter is introduced, right? So this chapter is introduced because there's a group of Pharisees who are talking to one another, and they noticed that Jesus is dining with sinners. You know, those kind of people. Tax collectors, prostitutes, people who are ritually unclean because of probably something their parents did and are now suffering for it by being blind or unable to walk. You know, those kind of people. And this is the tenor of the Pharisees as they mutter to one another under their breath, why does this guy always not only hangs out with sinners, but dines with sinners? Which would have been a really important distinction because Jesus, as a rabbi or as a religious leader, somebody who was welcome in the synagogues and the temple, would have had to be ritually clean in order to do that. And dining with sinners, sharing plates and cups and food with these kind of people, would have made him ritually unclean. And so why would somebody want to do something like that to themselves for these kind of people? And so in response to this muttering, which Jesus, you know, can hear and he knows what they're talking about, he tells these parables. He talks about this, the that the people that he's talking about are valuable. And what I think is a really nice distinction in these parables is that how Jesus looks at the people that he's dining with differently than the Pharisees do. Because the Pharisees look at them as who they are, right? They're very consumed about who these people are. Are they good people? Are they clean people? Or are they bad people? Are they sinful people? And Jesus is not concerned as much with who they are, because who they are is valuable to God. His concern is where they are, whether they are lost or found. Because that is something that can change. Perhaps who they are will never change. And in the mind of the Pharisees, these people, these sinners, they'll never change. But in Jesus' mind, there is a real capacity for change. And the way he frames it by saying that there's nothing wrong with these people. In fact, these people are incredibly valuable to God. As valuable as a sheep is to a shepherd, as valuable as a silver coin is to an old woman. But they're lost. They need help being found. And maybe you know somebody like this. Maybe you know somebody who is struggling in a situation that they can't seem to get themselves out of. There are many ways that we can be lost. We can be lost to addiction. We can be lost to illness. We can be lost to anger and resentment. We can be lost to bad theology, harmful theology that might have turned us off to the idea of God completely because it is associated with a traumatic experience or person. All of these ways do not change who a person is. It just changes where they are. But here's the good news. Here's the good news of these parables is that God is looking for the lost. God is seeking out the lost. Now, these two parables are of a trifecta. So there is the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, which you might know as the prodigal son parable, which we didn't have time to read today. And each of these talks about being lost and being found. But what is interesting about the first two parables in comparison to the lost son is that in the lost son parable, the God character, the father in the story, waits for the son to come back. Waits for the son to kind of have this revelation and come back to the father. But in the first two parables, in the lost sheep and the lost coin, the God character, the shepherd, and the woman seek out what is lost. And they don't seek it out in just sort of a casual, well, if it happens, it happens kind of way. They seek it out with everything they are, with their entire being. The shepherd abandons all of his sheep to go find the one that is lost. The woman tears her house apart, sweeps every nook and cranny, looks in every crevice with a lamp in order to find what is lost. And this is how God searches for what is lost. I think of it like the moon. You ever look up at the moon? Very often I think we take the moon for granted. We just, you know, sort of assume. But this, if you've looked at the moon the past couple of days, it's just been remarkable. And what's interesting is when you look up at the moon, you see the moon, but you also see everything that the moonlight is touching. You sort of see all the light, how it spreads over the whole earth. Well, this is very much like how we look at God when we are lost. We take God for granted until we are lost, and then we look up seeking God the way we look for the moon. And when we find God, the other thing that we see is that God has been looking for us this whole time. God has been searching for the lost throughout all of creation. And it is God's love and presence that touches everything the way that the moonlight touches the whole earth. And the other thing that unites all three parables, in addition to finding what is lost, is rejoicing. There is great rejoicing, it says, in each of the parables. In all of the differences, the result is always the same. There's not only rejoicing, but there is a call to have all of the hosts of heaven, all of the people, all of the family of God rejoice together as well. And even in the last parable, if you remember the prodigal son, the dad has a huge feast and invites everyone to rejoice. I want to read for you a poem by a guy named Pastor Dan who writes this poem, The Lost. It goes like this. Praise God for the Lord who loves. Praise God for the Lord who cares. In the midst of my weakness, when I am lost, unable to find even myself, there is one who seeks, one who finds me, the lost, and rejoices in the correction of our folly, rejoices with the angels, rejoices with song, rejoices for us and with us, often before we are aware, often before we are aware that we were lost. Isn't it strange how things happen? It was just one of those days. I decided to make a change. These are the words that we use. So rejoice and be glad, for that which was lost has been found. There is this wonderful feeling of finding what's lost. And I can relate to it because when I heard over that loudspeaker that this child, this little girl, was found, I was overjoyed and relieved. And what Jesus is saying is that God is seeking out this feeling by searching for what is lost. And Jesus wants us to help in the search. Because unlike in the parables, the sheep can't help the shepherd. The coins can't help the woman. But we can help to find who is lost. We can help to search for who is lost. And so if there is someone here who feels this way, who feels like they just are not sure where to go, I invite you to come and speak to me or speak to someone else to help see that moon again, to help find that light. But I would say it is more likely that the people who are lost are not in this building. They're out there, not knowing what they're seeking, not knowing what they are desiring, but feeling a desire for something, feeling a draw towards something, but not knowing how to get it. And that's where we come in. We are tasked with seeking out who is lost, with showing them that they are being sought, that just as they are seeking something, God is seeking them. This is a message that we can carry to a community, to a generation of people who are, for one reason or another, not desiring to come into the building, not desiring to come into a church they know is there, possibly because they don't know that this is a place where they can be found. So I say that is on our welcoming Sunday, as we celebrate warmth and welcoming, and as we move towards the anniversary Sunday, where we celebrate 175 years of the traditions of this church, one of the things that moves through every generation of this place is that warmth, is that welcome, is that idea that you can come here and be found. That you can come here and seek what you are losing. Seek what you are missing. So as we go to seek the lost, I invite us to be that welcoming place. A place where all can come in, no matter who they are, no matter what kinds of those people they are. They will find a place here where they can be found. Amen? Amen. Amen.